my mind wants to continue on with some things in Hebrews, but first, I want us to go back, because Jesus is our great high priest, right? But we don't know anything about that because we're not natural Jews. We didn't grow up having someone to offer sacrifices on our behalf in a natural way. I never took a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove or a pigeon or anything to a priest to have him sacrifice it on my behalf. But the Jews did, and the priesthood that God set up was for a purpose. It was so that they would realize that, first of all, they needed sins that needed atoning for. And not only that, but that they had someone to mediate and offer sacrifices on their behalf. Of course, pointing to Christ as our great high priest. Now, there's some specific things, and God is so specific about the priesthood and what its duties were in the Old Testament times given to the children of Israel. And did you know that if you were going to be a priest, that you had to be of the tribe of Levi? Okay? That means that if your daddy was Levi, that means you could be a priest. If your son was if you had a son, he would be a priest, but your cousin couldn't. Only you and your family and the ones that you have could be priests. Now, God gets very specific with the duties of the priesthood. And since this is a picture of Jesus Christ later on, I think it really would do us good if we went back and figured out how that priesthood operated and what their duties were. Of course, we can't talk about all of their duties today, but this one specific thing I want us to look at in verse 1 of chapter 13 of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at stay, and the plague be spread not in his skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague be spread not in his skin, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, it is but a scab, he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall be pronounced him unclean as a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rhizom be white in his skin, and if it had turned to hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rise, and it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. It goes on and on and on and on. Do you think God is specific when he even talks about if the hair in it is yellow? And all of these situations, God is so specific about it that He's talking about individual hairs being black, white, or yellow in the scab, or in the leprosy, or in the rising, or whatever it is. And what to do in each of those cases. And these people that had these kind of scabs or blemishes or spots in them were brought to the priest. And the priest was to inspect them. Not only were they to inspect them, but they were to pronounce them clean or unclean or in a place that they needed to be quarantined. Shut them up 7 days by themselves. Because it's unclear as to whether it's going to spread or not. And it is contagious. It's unclear whether it is contagious or not, but just in case, we're going to shut you up. So the priests had, can you imagine one priest doing that? That's why they had a whole tribe full of priests doing it, because this was a busy job. A busy job. Not a whole lot of rest when you were a priest after the order of Aaron or in Aaron's family or Levitical priesthood. You weren't, it wasn't an easy job. I mean, you were supposed to be looking at people's scabs. I got scabs all the time where I cut myself and different things. I got little blemishes on my... Can you imagine how busy the priesthood is and how ticky they got when they're looking at particular hairs? Now, go to Hebrews chapter 4. We talked about rest last time and laboring to enter into the rest. Because there remains a rest to God's people. In verse 12 of chapter 4, well, we'll go back to 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That word of God there is Jesus Christ. Now, here it is. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That seems like a far jump from Leviticus all the way to Hebrews, doesn't it? But it's not. Those priests could only look on the outward skin. Those priests could only inspect things that you do, or that they could see. Jesus Christ sees way deeper than our actions or what other men can see. He looks into the heart. Not only does He look into the heart, He looks into our thoughts. God knows what you think. God knows why you do something. The intention that you have, even though it might look to me, it might look to you, that it's a good thing, we don't know what the motivation of that was, do we? But God does. God knows why you do things. Jesus knows the intent with which we do them. And not just in a judgmental way, as looking and inspecting a scab. He's not just an inspector. Right? God's not just a high priest in that He looks on your skin and says, well, he's unclean, he needs to be shut up in the house for 7 days and then we'll check him out later on. No. How many times have you really been struggling on the inside and somebody asks you, how you doing? You say, I'm all right. You're lying through your teeth. But they don't know it. But guess what? God does. He sees the hurt on the inside. He knows the struggles that you're going through. The high priest, and not only the high priest, but all of the priests back then, they were men just like me and you. They had sins just like me and you. They were sinners, and you know what the priests did when they sinned or whatever? They had to offer sacrifices for themselves first before they could offer a sacrifice on the people's behalf. Is this making sense to y'all? Y'all get it? I mean, is it simple enough? No response. Is it simple enough? Are y'all getting it? About the high priest. All the priests. They were men just like you and me. They had like passions just like me and you. They had crazy thoughts that went through their head just like me and you. And when they did, they had to kill an animal for themselves to atone for that. Or to make an offering for that. Because they, as sinful, weak people, weren't really fit to make an atonement for you when they themselves weren't clean. He says, for every, in chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That's talking about the natural priests. How compassionate could I be if I didn't understand what you were going through? How compassionate would I be if I didn't understand you? How many times have you had people when you knew that they hadn't gone through the same thing that you've gone through? My friend who lost his son in so much hurt, so much pain, going through so much grief that I don't know about, told me one time, he said, "You lose your son and then you talk to me." I haven't been through it. I haven't been through it. But you know what? I can have sympathy for him. But I cannot truly empathize with him because I have not gone through that. These priests, they had infirmities. And by reason of their own infirmities, they could have compassion on other people. But if I really want to be comforted, I want to talk to somebody who's been there. Don't you? I want to talk to somebody who knows my thoughts, who knows what's going through my mind and who struggled with it before. Even though I did my dead level best to help him and to offer some words of encouragement over the months and months since it happened, I cannot truly give him any comfort. I cannot. I can help him as much as I can, but I can't truly give him any comfort. That's not. I can comfort him a little, but it's hard because I haven't been there. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he said unto him, "Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." You know, priests that are taken from among men have to give sacrifices for themselves, for they're also compassed about with infirmities. They're sinners, just like me and you. You know, Jesus Christ, He knows your problems. He knows your struggles. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, it says that He learned obedience by the things in which he suffered. And so do we. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb. He's our great high priest. He's passed on into the heavens. He's done a lot of things in his office as a priest. He entered into that which is within the veil. And he's a forerunner, and he's entered into the holy place on our behalf. really obtained eternal redemption for us as a high priest. He really did atone for our sins so that there's no more bulls or no more goats that have to be sacrificed in order for us. He looks, they did that just was an outward show of those priests. And it was all tangible. But God, when He sent His Son, and He sent His Son as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. I mean, a perfect sacrifice. And He offered Himself to God, and God accepted His offering on your behalf, on our behalf. A man that knew no sin. He didn't even know sin. And yet He suffered the wrath of sin, of all the sinners. And in that sense, He knew it. He felt it. That's why He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Not only did he understand what it was like to be tempted, but He understood what the suffering for it was. He suffered because of my sins and because of your sins and all the sins of all His people. And on that account, He knows what you're going through. On that account, He feels what you feel. He knows what's going through your mind because He felt it on the cross when your sins were laid on Him. A priest, natural priest, they don't know what you're going through. On the inside, they can just see the outside stuff. God sees the inside stuff. God knows what's going on the inside. The real stuff. The stuff that's in your heart that no man can see. No man can discern it. Paul spends several chapters here talking about the priesthood. I wish I could go all in it. But it says, I'm going to skip over to chapter 9. It says, in chapter 9 and verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once a year. That's in the holiest of holies. They weren't allowed in there, but once a year. But he didn't go in there without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. That means while the Old Testament, while the temple was still standing, and while this old law was still standing, that way was not yet seen. Which was a figure for the time then present. See, it's just a picture of the true. In which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, this is the good stuff, but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. It's not something that was made of hands. The tabernacle that he was at was not a tabernacle that you and I are made. It was a place and a place of offering and a sacrifice in His eternal purpose, and it was not made with hands. That sacrifice was given and was offered to God. Yes, it was on a cross that a man made, but I'm telling you that offering was made in the portals of glory where God dwells. No man made that tabernacle. And he says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now I tell you what, the blood of the bulls and the goats never did it. It never obtained eternal redemption. All it did was they had to, every time they made a mistake and every time they sinned and every time they had a bad thought, they had to continually sacrifice and go back to that priest. And first the priest had to offer for himself in case he was sinning, and then he had to offer for you. And the very next day you had to do the same thing. But God, one time in all time, he made a perfect sacrifice to atone for all the sins of all his people, and he offered that blood and he offered himself to God, and God accepted it on your behalf because you couldn't do it. That's why it was a perfect sacrifice, because there's no more need for any more sacrifices. No more need for Jesus Christ to shed his blood more than one time, because it was perfect. The blood of bulls and goats was not. All signifying that Jesus Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And this lamb was prepared before the foundation of the world. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, we don't serve him because of fear anymore. We serve him out of love, because he loved us. He sacrificed himself for us. I don't know if I can fully communicate to you what it means to have someone that does things on our behalf. I don't know if I can fully communicate to you what it means to be a priest. Not only that, a high priest. Out of all the priests that they had back there, there was only one that was the high priest. And he only went in once a year. But Jesus Christ is the high priest now. And the Bible says he's made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's a big subject. Big subject. But a priest is just, he just offers things. He ministers to the people on behalf of them to God. He's like a mediator, really. What is Jesus Christ? He's the ultimate mediator between God and man, isn't he? He's the bridge. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, God knows our problems. Where is that? I had it and I lost it. Where it says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted. Where did I read that already? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sins. If there's one thing that you leave with here today, it is, or two things, is that God knows your struggles. Jesus knows your struggles. He knows what you've been through. I might not, even though I'm a minister of God, I might not know your struggles. But God knows your struggles. And He has compassion on you because He's been through what you've been through. He's felt the punishment for sins and for your foolish thoughts. Yet He had none of His own. It's amazing to ponder what was accomplished on the cross. It's amazing to ponder the love that He had for each and every one of us as He hung there, bearing our sins. And it's amazing to ponder how much we ought to love Him more than we do by our actions, by our words, by our devotion to Him, by our being obedient to Him, by our laboring to enter into His rest. Because there is a rest to be had. And it takes labor to enter into that. May we all remember that God cares for you. He knows all about your problems. Lay them at the cross. Go to the cross. See Him there. See Him resurrected as your great high priest, and take those sins that you thought or did and confess them to God. And He's ready to forgive you. Not only is He ready, He's willing. And in that way, you come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Because don't we all need that? Don't we all need mercy? And don't we all need grace to help in time of need? Don't we all need that? You know, the first part of that is come boldly to the throne. Take it farther than the cross. Take it to the throne. Take it to the throne of the King. He'll hear you. He'll hear you. May the Lord bless you. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to be obedient to the commands of Jesus Christ,